Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Let me have your attention. I hope you are quite decarbonized in the morning and in the earlier session. So in this panel, we will carbonize you because we will talk about daily critical operations, safety and human element. Allow me to present the panelists on this panel. To my left is Alex Hadzipateras, Managing Director and Senior Executive Vice President of Dorian LPG. Venetia Kalipolitou, Cross-Department Human Resources and Training Manager at Tsakos Group and retired Commander Hellenic Coast Guard. Next is Helio Vicente, Director of Employment Affairs, International Chamber of Shipping. Next, Mr. Petros Aktipis, Founder and Chief Executive Officer, Prevention at Sea. And last, our dear LP Petraki, President, WISTA International. Thank you, the panelists, and thank you, Nicholas, for putting again a very good forum, both on topics and speakers. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me a brief introduction. While the world is still in the process of recovering in a post-COVID era, the economic impact and the energy crisis resulting from the Russian-Ukrainian conflict, significant impact us all, as well as the shipping industry, while the urgent matter of climate change and decarbonization make our life challenging. On top, limitation on qualified, educated, and well-trained human resources on board and ashore seem to complicate more our operating environment. Further, new technologies, digitalization aboard, artificial intelligence are bound to have a transformational impact on the future of shipping industry and its manpower. From these challenges, we are discussing today safety and the human element, which is even a very broad topic. We will try to focus somewhere on a few components. In safety, as you most know, we have different approaches, the reactive following an incident, the proactive, continuous improving safety cultures here and there to manage and reduce risk. It has been shown that the critical parts of safety in the shipping industry start from the seafarer, the people ashore, various shareholders at different degree, the application of our existing processes, the environment, the workplace, and some more. In addition, which human elements count for more than 80% of accident incident fatalities, a large number of studies indicated that mostly the following factors play a major role, and those are organizational factor within the company, technologies and work environment, and they also have classified human error as unsafe act, unsafe supervision, and organizational discipline. In further analysis, human elements are combined as health, physical element, mental element, emotional response, personal competence for handling urgent situation on board, learning ability, self-management, working environment. And this, as you can understand by this brief introduction, is a huge subject which will become much more challenging in the next years to come. With this, I will start with Helio, who was a Director of Employment Affairs of International Chamber of Shipping. He may have a good idea to give us an overview of the challenge on human resources in shipping today.
Thank you very much. And where to start? And I think I'll probably start with a little caveat. We probably will have to recarbonize the panel a little bit, just as we look towards the future. And I think Bud and Scott served us with the perfect segue to some of the discussions that we'll have there. But I think from an International Chamber of Shipping perspective, we're very proud of the work that we've done over the years with seafarers. And I think not more so than the work that we've done since the the pandemic. At the height of the pandemic, as everybody knows, around 400,000 seafarers were either stuck on board or unable to disembark to be reunited with their loved ones. And it was through sheer cooperation between us, our seafaring partners and other stakeholders, that we were able to make this happen. We've been thinking a lot about the relationship between ship owners and seafarers, including on the safety, including with respect to recruitment and retention. And the conclusion that we're coalescing around is the need for a new social contract for seafarers. And what we mean by that is that in our work, for example, at the ILO, we're looking at setting minimum global standards that will apply to seafarers on all sorts of aspects of their employment. But can we collectively begin to challenge ourselves collectively to go beyond those minimum standards? What areas can we look towards exploring that? So those are some of the conversations that we're beginning to have, both with ourselves and with the seafaring community as well.
Thank you, Helio. But in terms of this new contract or new social, where the seafarer come in, how active their unions or all of this environment will come in, and what do they offer? Do they just need to follow what the shipping companies or IMO or other regulatory bodies we tell them, you need to learn this, you need to learn that, you need to learn the other? How this will nest? How will become one solidified force to move forward?
Thank you very much. And we have about 2 million seafarers. And Bud served up the perfect segue in the previous panel, talking about the Maritime Just Transition Task Force, because I think to your point, this is not about just ship owners making unilateral decisions about the direction of travel of the industry with respect to employment. It's very much social dialogue driven with the seafarers on site. So the Maritime Just Transition Task Force was established at COP26 for this very purpose, so that ship owners and seafarers, alongside the International Maritime Organization, the International Labour Organization, begin to look at these challenges and opportunities, I should say, to work and achieve meaningful results. As part of phase one of this project, we look at some of the challenges that seafarers will face for the transition. And I think it was mentioned before, with respect to potential new fuels such as ammonia and hydrogen and so on. We've been able to carry them as cargo in some capacity, but obviously they will need some additional training. Our workforce will require some additional training when that comes to handling them as fuel. So all this work is ongoing in the Maritime Just Transition Task Force, and I'm happy at a later stage to provide a little bit of more insight of the work that we're doing in phase two of the project heading towards COP28 later this year.
Thank you, Helio. Now, LP, you heard what Helio said with this new initiative and social contract. I know you are involved in WISTA and you are promoting the women seafarer on board, and how can we count on them? And of course, if that picks up, maybe it will solve the lack of seafarers that we are having today. So where are we on that? Can you share some thoughts, some insight?
Thank you so much. WISTA is taking part in, as a part of this team in the Just Transition Task Force, just to ensure that when we make all these efforts for the transition in the new period, we don't forget the women. And I wouldn't say only the women, but all people that are underrepresented on board the vessels. But we cannot make a call for women to fill just the numbers, because we lack of people, and not create safe environments for them and for everybody. And when we talk about safety, luckily, in the past years, we started talking just after COVID about psychological safety, harassment attitudes, and we don't want to focus on that because there are good practices on board the vessels, but we need to make them even safer. So we cannot just go out there and make a call for women to come on board the vessels and not having the safe environments. Personally, I will not do that. It's too risky. I will on companies that I know that they make the efforts, yes, I will do.
No, I mean we train them and then we put them on board, not without training. I mean,
you no, mean, I don't mean just training them. We need to train everybody. To accept everybody and to respect everybody.
Now you give me an opening to go to Venetia, because Tsakos Group is not only known for having some of the few women captain on board, and I think this is correct, and also they are known for their emphasis on marine training education vis-a-vis shipping. So, Venetia, educate us.
Thank you, Michalis. Good afternoon to all. And a big thank to all the organizers for inviting me in this conference this year as well. That's true. We in Tsakos Group are attributing a paramount importance for the maritime education and training, which is leading to vocational further education and training through the whole professional life of our seafarers. This is a continuous life learning process and experience. Our founder, Captain Panagiotis Tsakos, as well as together with his son, Dr. Nicholas Tsakos, paved the way for a huge investment to maritime knowledge so as to ensure, from one hand, a safe, secure, and environmentally sound shipping operation, and from the other hand, our maritime tradition in seamanship will be preserved. In this context, apart from Maria Tsakos Academy that you know very well, Michalis, we have built in 2018 the first non-profit nautical school, the so-called Tsakos Enhanced Education Nautical School, TINS, with the vision to create an educational cell par excellence, so as from the early age of 15 to prepare the future officers. 5 years after, TINS has its own training vessel, has a full equipped GMDSS station for training purposes, has been approved by the Hellenic Ministry of Education as educational center of excellence among the regimes of the country, and has been certified by BV with ISO 9001. Having as our competitive advantage our safety culture, assured on board, it was inevitable to direct to build the safety culture as well to our youngest by introducing all the aspects in the educational program. Few days ago, we had an inauguration by establish a new workshop for safe mooring, together with one of the most famous makers of ropes. We installed a fully equipped safe mooring workshop with all the necessary training tools for our students and maritime tutors to simulate real conditions, scenarios, and exercises. Without wanting to lose the time of the other speakers, just a small reference that during the training, the students will learn the following: mooring stations and equipment, know general mooring technology, find out how to inspect and maintain mooring equipment. They will always be aware with all the necessary PPEs. Needless to say, that we are going to use our safe mooring workshop for our seafarers' further training as well, while Tsakos family announced that the workshop is open to all other public maritime educational entities, other nautical high schools and merchant marine academies, as we have done in the past for the other workshops and simulators of teens. Any investment in training on safety matter is an investment to the safe operation of our vessels and our companies. Any best practice and sharing is a contribution to our shipping community.
Thank you, Verity. Quite interesting and pioneering what the Tsakos group is doing on education. Now, going to Alex next to me, Dorian LPG, managing state-of-the-art new LPG fleet. So human resources, I assume, will be very challenging nowadays. So how do you deal with this today, and how you prepare for tomorrow? More intelligent, more digitized vessel, more challenges.
Thank you, Mihaly, and thank you, Capital Link, for being here again this year. LPG are some of the most sophisticated vessels to operate on the water, and we've been very fortunate to have a core group of officers with us for the last 10, 15 years. And regarding, you know, the topic of the panel, human element, just say that we have an increased focus, as Venetia was saying, on soft skills development, behavioral-based safety in advance of SIRE 2.0 and then the upcoming TMSA human element. For the future, what we aspire to do and try to do is integrate the experience of our seafarers into the design, maybe not literally, technically, but incorporate the design and feedback into how the new vessels will operate and be designed. What do I mean by that? We have a very fortunate mix of young generation, many of whom are extremely adept with digital tools, be it AI, and people, seafarers, who have experience with the cargo operations and the sailing. So we really do lean and integrate them into the decision-making process. And this is something that I learned from my first job, which was outside of shipping, but in IT, where we would integrate creative, technical, user experience into one team. So I think we very much lean on the experience of our seafarers and incorporate the younger generation into that design too.
Thank you, Alex. We'll come back to that later on the seafarer and welfare issue. Now, I left Petros Aktipis last because while we heard from ICS and shipping companies representative, Petros, because of prevention at sea, he visits a lot of ships daily. He promotes safety. So I want to ask him pragmatically, what is going on board with respect to safety, given that the last statistics of European Marine Safety Agency, last figures end of 2021, we have just in EU 2,637 casualties and incidents, 14 vessels lost, 52 very serious casualties, 36 fatalities, 621 injuries, 58 pollution events. So those are figures and facts. So Petros, your floor.
Mihalis, thank you very much for this question. We can talk hours and hours, to be honest with you. I don't have an answer, but I can give you my insights. I am also a man of numbers, and I can share some numbers with you as well. Like, for example, we know all here that every year on board the ships are carried out about 5 million drills. On board ships, we have hundreds of thousands inspections, either by flag state, either by class, either by shipping company, either P&I, and so on and so on. And we have well-certified seafarers by STCW. We have shipping companies certified by ISO 9001, 14,000, 50,000, 45,000. We have ISM certificate, we have DOC, all of them are part of the safety, and still accidents happen, according to your paper. So why this is happening? That's a very good question.
You tell me.
Okay. I don't have an answer, but I can give you, for example, what is human element. According from the studies and the visits that we do on board, we see that people need assistance from us. They need training, they need actual on-the-job training, because we see people that they see they have knowledge in theory, but something magic happens when they board the ship, and it's like they forget critical things. And I enjoyed the discussion before with the previous panels about decarbonizations and all this stuff. But let's not go so far. Let's remember that EGDIS, for example, has been introduced in our industry a few years ago. There is a lot of training, a lot of procedures. Actually, we see that our industry is, how I call it, over-procedurized, maybe, as an industry. And although we have all these procedures, training and stuff, we see people that they don't actually know how to work with EGDIS. Now, I'm not, this is just numbers, and I don't want to, I'm not blaming anybody. I just want to say that safety has partners. It's not only the seafarers. Safety has, it's like a marriage, you know. The seafarers, the shipping company, and also agents, charterers, terminals, everybody. Because it's a two-way traffic. Huh? You cannot say that I have all the certificates on board, I have well-trained seafarers, I have everything that I have to have according to regulations, best practices, and then, for example, you have around 40% of people saying that, yes, yeah, sometimes we got unsafe orders. So these are numbers that I can share with you.
This is true, actually. This is part of the organizational issues in safety.
Yeah.
From the leadership all the way down, how that goes. But anyway, sorry for interrupting. Please go ahead.
And just a last part. We always discuss about human element. And as a company, we try to go a little bit deeper and see what human element means. Because we go to many forums and we talk about human element, unsafe actions and all this stuff. But I think at some point we need to answer the question, what is human element? Okay. I believe that human element, it's actually simple things like the way we communicate, very important. The way we work together. The way we perceive risk, okay? It's not the same for everyone. For example, just to give you a simple example, this is my mobile. This is important for me, but for you it's not so important. So if you have to have a risk assessment, if I place my mobile there, we will not have the same risk assessment, okay? So all these things together is part of the human element. And we really, really need to understand the people on board and also the people who work at the office, who is also part of the game. And of course, as I said before, safety has partners. It's not only the shipping company and the seafarers. Also the other partners must...
That's correct. That's correct. I mean, there have been studies that they try to identify trends. And it's interesting that these trends, they don't concentrate only on the people on board. They go far beyond the people ashore, the leadership of the company, and also the particular environment, both on board, the working environment, but the surrounding environment too, when an accident occurs. So there are many components, and what you try to do in safety is to minimize and manage the risk of concurrence of a lot of these things in order to avoid an accident, an incident. That at least was an aftermath lesson I learned when I worked for Exxon and followed up the Exxon Valdez case up in Anchorage, Alaska. But now I want to provocate all of you because you praise training, safety, you take care of your seafarers on board, etc. And I have some bad news for you because I have some friends in the mission to seafarers and they sent me the seafarer happiness second quarter 2023. And unfortunately, between December 2022 and July 2023, the seafarer happiness index has dropped 10% from 7.5 to 6.7 and going down. So the mission to seafarers say, hey, our seafarers are unhappy on board your vessels, and what they have identified as making them unhappy: working conditions on board, wages, shore leave, extending time on board. Those are the leading factors. So starting with Alex, do your seafarers feel unhappy?
It's good that you ask a provocative question. I think you have to look at this study, and it's not a shock to me that after coming through COVID and the Ukraine-Russia crisis, which is ongoing, that you could have something like this. And it's very natural that you have seafarers who have had extended contracts, who've had time away from families. I think, you know, we have to manage our own team and people, and we're very close to them during the COVID period. We were using social media as a tool to communicate, trying to support seafarers who were displaced because of the conflict. So we're very attuned to the changing dynamics in the last few years. Of course, I think, you know, we shouldn't put a blindfold on, but these are challenges that I'm not surprised to hear this statistic, and we just have to focus more and try and keep our ears open.
Have you changed the welfare perception of your seafarer group after COVID? I mean, have you introduced something new, something benefits, some extra things to make the seafarer happy post-COVID? Because the index is actually data post-COVID. It's December 2022 to July 2023. So December 2022, the COVID was reduced substantially on board. So it seems that they decline post-COVID, which that make me wonder what is going on. And whoever wants to ask to reply to this, I mean, Venetia or Helio, etc., that will, I want to be a dynamic discussion, okay?
If I can just go a little bit back to some of the comments that Petros made, I think I need to address those however briefly I can. I think some of the comments he's made are certainly valid, but I tend to be a little bit more positive about the industry and the work that our seafarers are doing. They are 100% dedicated to keep world trade moving. Of course, there will be casualties. There are incidents. It's important that we continue to learn from those. And I think training, to the point that you've made, where when we discuss just transition and decarbonization, one of the issues that we've identified is probably around the world there's about 6 real state-of-the-art training centers. We need to see those being scaled up, and that goes back to what Badar was mentioning about putting funds towards funding towards the training of seafarers for decarbonization. But I think as well, to the point Alex made, soft skills are hugely important in our industry, and we're beginning to recognize that. And once that's fully baked in, we're also going to see some gains to that. But many of the major companies are already doing that as well. We need to just globalize that concept. With respect to the Mission to Seafarers report, I suspect that if this report was published today, we might have a slightly different reaction from seafarers. I think it all depends in a moment in time.
It's August 9, just a month.
Yeah, it's not that long ago, and I'm not trying to tear down the report, I'm really not. But the point I'm trying to make is it was only a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, I believe, that 250,000 seafarers received a wage increase of about 6% over
right.
the next 2 years,
the next,
plus
few
benefits.
Years. Right.
I'm not saying that is the be-all and end-all, but I think in those negotiations, they were very appreciative that there is a recognition from the side of the owners and the employers that what they went through with COVID and beyond that, just what they do for us as an industry, is hugely, hugely important. Now, with respect to the report itself, I think with these things, as with any report, it depends on the way that you frame the questions, depends on how they asked, who the audience is, the number of seafarers, and so on. And Again, I won't go too much into it, but it's based on a lot of variables. What we're trying to do in the Maritime Just Transition Task Force, and I should say with the seafarers on the side, is to actually create a framework where we actually have real learning en masse for what the attraction, recruitment and retention issues affecting our ability to retain talent is. So hopefully that clarifies some of the points that Petros made and your question as well.
Okay, I thank you very much. I mean, well taken your comments. But Venetia, what would you say about your seafarers? Happy?
I feel optimistic. And I assume that we are guiding through a smooth time period. Of course, we have not to disregard the fact that how many months or even years took in order to a global regime to achieve that our seafarers have been designated as key workers. So we have gives me an opportunity to comment about if the voice of our seafarers is raised properly at the global regime. And then I have to remind, to recall that when we are discussing Maritime Labour Convention, when we are discussing at ILO, we are three. In this case, you don't need two for Tango, you need three. You need the government, you need the ship owners, and you need the unions in order to have a collective decision. Additionally, because this is a very important issue, we have to discuss about how we combine the recruitment, training, retention, welfare of seafarers. We are recognized that it's a critical issue. We are recognized that we have geopolitical challenges today. If I may, I will add not only geopolitical, but also technological, environmental, social, digital challenges, and everything is today. In a way of sense, all the factors together are interrelated. If we achieve welfare, then we have better results in recruitment and retention. If we invest on human capital training, we increase confidence by having more skillful and competent seafarers, combining with people who are well motivated, valued, emotionally well, socially connected, and that we assume that we are increasing performance, and we need the increasement of the human performance. On the other side, we have the shortage, and we have figures saying that, so was the 2021 BIMCO ICS report, saying that probably per year you will have a lack of officers, approximately 17,000. This is not a pure number. And we have other studies, like DNV, that they are contributing to organize how many seafarers should be trained in order to deal with the new challenges, and they are thousands. Prestige and image. That's a point and the message that should be kept today. The role of the seafarer must receive greater recognition and acknowledgement by all stakeholders with the broader maritime cluster and the society. And then we have schemes, what we did during the COVID and after the COVID period. We increase everything that has to do with the soft skills, the resilience of our seafarers, through training, through close communication, through contacts. We increase internet connectivity. Now, we have, as an industry, we have thoroughly discussed the internet connectivity in a safe, wise manner. We establish zero tolerance policies for unexceptional behaviors. We have done that. As Tsakos Group, we have undertaken from the beginning of our existence all the standing values of trust, teamwork, tradition, and we increase with awareness, communication, resilience. We have to talk again and again with these words. Nevertheless, my last comment, if you allow me, Michalis, is that to pay tribute to the previous speaker that talked and raised our awareness regarding the revision of STCW. This is actually a good momentum, just to contribute all together on this and to gain the time. Allow me to remind you that in the last exercise, we needed 6 years to implement. 2010 Manila. And we didn't do it well. Thank you.
Thank you very much for a very detailed reply, Venetia. Elpi, the same question goes to you, and briefly, if you could.
To the first question of what changes we made, as Venetia just mentioned, and Helio before, and everybody, we started paying attention to the soft skills much more than we did before. And of course, connectivity. And we were always listening to our seafarers, but I think now we go deeper into their problems. I mean, in Greek shipping in general, it was a family thing, even for the ship, the seafarers, sorry, not the ship owners, for the seafarers. So we were always taking care of the whole family as a concept. And this continues, I think, we continue to do it. And I think we really try to hear nowadays, and it's so good that this conversation is public now. And all the parties involved do care, because we realize it is the future of the industry. And we need to protect the seafarers to protect our industry. So I'm very happy for that.
Thank you. We have less than a minute, so I need a yes or no. Last question, just your personal opinion. If we had happy seafarers on board, do you think that we would have much less safety issues than we have today? Alex, yes or no?
Yes, yes.
Yes, Venetia?
Yes.
Helio?
I tried saying yes in Greek, but I don't know how to say it.
Ne. 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 Petros?
Yes.
Yes. And Elpi?
I cannot say no, I have to say yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. Make your employees happy and your problems will be solved. Thank you very much for your attention.